This is Edward Arnold. And today we are repeating one of my favorite Mr. President stories because so many of you have asked to hear it again. It's about a president who once said, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God."
Mr. President, starring Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Edward Arnold. Mr. President, at home in the White House, the elected leader of our people, our fellow citizen and neighbor. These are little-known stories of the men who've lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. True human stories of Mr. President.
Today's Mr. President drama will begin in just a moment. But meanwhile, I'd like to say a word about the generations of American men and women who have found their greatest inspiration in the lives of the presidents of the United States. To Americans, there are no more stirring stories in the world than the stories of the men who have become the leaders of their country. Their deeds are direction pointers for the American mind. People today are more interested than ever to know the intimate, interesting, and inspiring facts about the lives of their presidents. Now, for the first time in radio history, the American Broadcasting Company takes listeners behind the White House reception rooms and ballrooms, glittering with gold braid and famous personalities, into the privacy of the breakfast room and study, where presidents are shown as individuals, with human doubts, laughter, love, and faith. Mr. President is true biography built around the men who filled America's highest office. We invite you to listen now for today's story of Mr. President. Now, in just a moment, Edward Arnold.
Have you ever found yourself suddenly responsible for a high-spirited girl of 18? I did once, and it was a problem. It was even more than that because I faced a serious situation in the government at the same time. Now, of course, you want to ask me which president was I when it happened. Well, I'll tell you that later on, but meanwhile you may be able to guess. One afternoon I had a visitor, a hard-headed man from Pennsylvania who wasn't afraid to speak his mind even though my wife was sitting with me.
Mr. President, I'm talking for the farmers in the farm towns of four whole counties in western Pennsylvania. We see no reason why our people should have to pay an excise tax. We want the tax laws changed,
Trent,
and now...
Trent, I'm trying to keep a reasonable attitude in this whole situation.
So are we, Mr. President.
You, reasonable? In the past 2 months, you and your group have rebelled against the federal government. You've driven our Internal Revenue people out of your towns by mob violence, and two of our men have been killed. Do you call that being reasonable?
Our people won't stand for such heavy taxes, that's all.
Trent, these laws were passed in the interest of the whole country. They're fair and reasonable, and I mean to enforce them.
With more tax collectors, they'll be driven out, too.
You're missing the real issue.
No, that's the way politicians talk when they want to confuse me.
Trent, our government is unique in the entire world. A careful balance of power between the states and the federal government. I give you 1 week to restore order and acknowledge federal authority again. 1 week, that's all.
Well, I was hoping you'd understand us better than this, Mr. President.
I understand you much better than you think. Good day, Mr. Trent.
Goodbye, Mr. President.
Well, we're going to hear from Mr. Trent again.
Tell me, my dear, do you remember when you were a little boy?
Well, I remember when I was a little girl. Will that help?
Yeah, I suppose little girls are the same as little boys. I used to get ideas of disobeying my father until I came face to face with him. Then he'd sit down and explain why I shouldn't act the way I did, and that would end it.
You think Mr. Trent and his followers are still little boys?
I hope they are.
And what if they aren't?
In that case, we're in real trouble.
Then what about Harriet?
Harriet?
Maybe she shouldn't come here to live.
Why?
Well, if there's trouble, you won't have much time for her.
Oh, now, look, she's not a stranger. She's my niece, 18 years old.
Well, it's a grave responsibility trying to act as her father.
Oh, she won't give us any trouble. She's a charming girl.
I thought you hadn't seen her since she was 5 years old.
Well, she was charming then.
I'm only afraid it won't be fair to her. After all, with her parents not living, she may be lonely and need guidance and encouragement. All that takes time.
My dear, I can see where a young boy would be difficult, getting into trouble, making a lot of noise. But girls, they're different. Probably the most exciting thing she'll ever do is work on her embroidery by the fireplace. You wait and see.
Kiss you. And this must be my aunt, just as sweet as I thought you'd be. Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Uncle, do you think I'll do?
Do what, Harriet?
As the youngest member of your family, Uncle, aren't you glad I've come? Well, I am.
Yes, I'm delighted. And so is your aunt, aren't you, my dear?
I hope you'll be very happy living here, Harriet.
Oh, I will. Unless you're terribly solemn.
No, I don't think so.
Then don't frown at me so.
Well, I was just remembering your father.
Oh, now don't let's be sad.
And the last time I saw you...
Please don't tell me I've grown, because if I hadn't grown in 13 years, that would be embarrassing. Tell me, what's it like here?
It might seem very quiet at times, Harriet.
Yes. My dear, would you mind showing Harriet to the room she's to have?
Of course not.
Oh, don't bother. I can find it. I'll ask one of the servants. What time is dinner?
Well, 7:30.
I'll be starved by 7:30. See you both later.
She's lovely.
Am I terribly solemn, ever?
I don't think so.
Tell me, how old are we, my dear?
Over 21.
Well, maybe that's why, to me anyway, she seems so...
Seems so what?
Well, on the other hand, maybe she'll do us good. We can tell better tonight when we all have dinner with General Essex.
Are you still planning on sending Essex to the West Indies?
Yes, if I can. You can help on that, and so can Harriet, just by being here. The General won't want to go, but he'll do almost anything to if two charming ladies smile at him.
General, you're wonderful.
Thank you, my dear.
Uncle, make him tell some more stories.
In a few moments, Harriet.
General, I'm going to ask a great favor of you.
Really, sir?
I want you to go to the West Indies for me on a special mission.
Oh, my heavens, how dull.
I think, Harriet, will you pour some more coffee, please?
It's a highly important mission, General. There are certain commodities we want to purchase directly.
Oh, but what a long, long trip.
The girl's got a point there, Mr.
What I'd like you to do, General, is to have a talk tomorrow with the Secretary of State.
Oh, besides, the mosquitoes there are huge. Or don't you mind mosquitoes, General?
Frankly, I'm very susceptible to mosquitoes.
How would you feel about going, General?
I rather think my work here is more important.
Oh, if that settles that. General, come in the next room and tell me some more of those wonderful stories.
Harriet.
Yes, Uncle?
Oh, never mind. I'll join you in a moment, General.
Will you take my arm, my dear? Now, one time I was fishing in Lake George. And what do you think happened?
What's so funny, my dear?
Remember what you said? The most exciting thing she'll do is work on her embroidery by the fireplace. Here, dear, something they gave me outside. It's another report from Pennsylvania.
Let me see it, please. Oh, my, that's bad. More outbreaks of violence and other men killed. Seems like every time I hear from there, the situation is getting worse.
Oh, they aren't acting much like little boys.
They certainly aren't.
What can you do?
There's one final thing I can do, but I'll use it only as a very last resort. Speaking of problems, where's Harriet?
She went riding early this morning.
Alone?
I understand she wouldn't let the groom go with her.
She's a very high-spirited girl, isn't she?
That's putting it mildly.
Oh, there's no harm in her, though. Only she does make me feel terribly...
solemn.
And inadequate. You were right. She needs more time than we've got to give her. Somebody has to finish the job of bringing her up. Get her married, see her launched into her life, so to speak.
Well, she seems well able to launch herself, I'd say.
Well, a little too able, don't you... What's that? What's all that noise?
Something out on the lawn.
Oh, look, Look, Harriet, on her horse.
Oh, is it running away with her?
No, I think it's the other way around. Oh, right over the flower beds, the bushes, my dear. Make sure she comes right in here. I've got to talk to that young lady.
Wonderful ride, Uncle. Did you see me?
Harriet, sit down.
Oh, you're not going to be terribly solemn, I hope.
Harriet, I am the President of the United States. And you are my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, have certain obligations.
Oh, to be demure and lifeless, I suppose you mean, Uncle.
To be well-behaved and discreet.
It's the same thing.
Harriet, please. I'm not only your uncle, I'm trying to be your father, too. Tell me, can you cook?
Oh, I can cook if you can eat it.
Can you sew, keep house, take care of your own clothes? Why, you don't seem to care how you look.
Oh, those things aren't important, Uncle.
They're the foundation of a happy married life.
You sound just like a textbook for young girls. Besides, I'm not even married yet.
But you will be someday. You'll have children. You've got to learn self-discipline. You wouldn't want your children to grow up to be irresponsible, would you?
Well, frankly, I haven't given it a thought.
Harriet, sooner or later, you'll meet a young man who'll fall in love with
you. Oh, I already have.
Already?
Yes. And Andrew won't care anything at all about the things you're discussing. At least not yet.
Andrew?
I met him back home. We were engaged.
Who is he, Harriet?
Oh, nobody really. But he will be.
What do you mean, nobody?
Well, I mean, he's poor, and he doesn't believe in marriages of convenience.
Harriet, what are you talking about?
Marriages of convenience.
What do you know about such things?
Well, I know that people of famous, important families like ours are always marrying off their families to somebody else famous and important, and rich, too, if possible. Well, Andrew and I don't believe in such things.
Harriet, in our family, we do not marry off our females, as you put it, as if we were African trade slavers. All I want of you is the sane, sensible husband. I want you to be well-fitted to be the wife of a sane, sensible man. Now, who is Andrew?
Parks. Andrew Parks. Oh, you'll love him, Uncle.
Well, I'll have to meet him first. Now, no more riding horses across the lawn. No more running around as if you didn't care how you looked. No more... You do understand, don't you, Harriet?
Well, no, frankly, I don't. But I'll try. Just to please you.
Thank you. And now, if you'll excuse me, there's an important visitor coming in that I must see.
You sent for me, Mr. President? I came as soon as I could.
Mr. Trent, last week I warned you that the state of rebellion in your section had to end. Instead of that, it's grown worse.
Well, I warned you, sir. It'll get no better until you stop trying to collect those taxes.
Mr. Trent, you heard my warning. Now I'm going to see that the power and authority of the federal government are respected.
Mr. President, you can send your people in amongst us till you got somebody alongside every man, woman, and child. It won't change anything.
I'm going to send people among you, Trent, and it's going to surprise you who they are. That's all, Trent. Thank you for coming. Here's the door. Good day.
Good day, sir.
Well, Mr. Trent is still a problem, isn't he?
Then you heard our discussion.
You've made up your mind?
Yes, and I wish to heaven there were another way.
In just a moment, we'll come back to Edward Arnold and Mr. President.
When you hear about an automobile accident, do you ever identify yourself with it? Do you ever stop to think of yourself in that wrecked car you're reading about? It could be you. That's why we urge you to take normal precautions and obey common sense safety rules when you're out on the road. For instance, adjust your speed to the road. Avoid hogging the road or riding the bumper of the car in front or passing another car without a full view of the road ahead. They're all things to be avoided if you want to stay out of accidents. Of course, pedestrians come into this accident picture, too. Crossing between intersections is one unsafe act. Crossing against the light or failing to look both ways before crossing the street. Or getting out of the car on the traffic side are others. Keep highway safety in mind. Don't be one of the 32,000 people who are killed each year. And now, back to Edward Arnold and Mr. President.
probably guess the name of the president in this story. Later on, of course, I'll tell you which one it was. Well, I had made a decision about the trouble in Pennsylvania. I had decided that you can't look backward and hope to go forward. As I was thinking about this, my wife came in, and it was plain that something else had happened.
Oh, I'm sorry, my dear. It seems unimportant now.
Harriet, huh?
Yes.
Well, what has she done now?
Oh, it's silly and still... Well, she's been everywhere buying clothes for herself.
Clothes? Well, that's all right, isn't it?
She's bought things that would look much better on a... Well, she's only 18, and for her to dress up like a...
Oh, I see. I suppose that is really serious.
Yes.
Making up one's mind is an interesting process.
What do you mean?
I mean, when you make it up about one thing, it's easier to make it up about another.
Oh, I see.
Ask Harriet to come in, will you, please? There's only one way to settle this.
Uncle, I've never seen you look so solemn.
Harriet, I'm afraid I'm being a failure as a substitute father.
Oh, no, no, you're not.
And so I've decided it would be much better for you to go and live with your Aunt Helen in Virginia.
Leave here?
After all, I can't give you enough time. I feel that a young girl and her father, even her substitute father, ought to spend some time together. Get to know each other, become friends. Don't you think so?
Yes, I think so.
Well, here I am. Naturally, my official duties come first, and naturally, with the decision I've had to arrive at, during the time you've been here, I...
You're not telling me the real reason you're sending me away.
Believe me, I am.
I've disappointed you, haven't I?
No, you haven't.
I've behaved badly, thoughtlessly. I didn't think it was important. I didn't realize...
Now, there. There's nothing to cry about, Harry. You'll be much happier with your Aunt Helen. She has two girls about your age. You'll have friends. There's nobody here but my wife and I.
Well, it's not important, Uncle. I've been so much trouble to you already. When do you want me to go?
Well, I thought next week.
Maybe in a week you'll get over thinking that you're not a good substitute father.
Well, I'm going away, Harriet, tomorrow morning.
Oh?
To the town of Bedford, near where all the trouble is.
Then I won't wait till next week, Uncle. I'll go tomorrow. It won't take me long to pack.
Harriet.
Yes?
Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye, Uncle.
She's like her father, impulsive, headstrong, always wanting her own way.
Come in. Good evening, Mr. President.
Oh, Major Ferris, you and I will leave for Bedford tomorrow. I want the troops to arrive the next morning.
They're all ready, sir. They'll be camped just outside the town.
All right, Major. Now we'll see what kind of history we make in Bedford.
President, Trent has just arrived to see you. He followed us here to Bedford.
Show him in, Major.
Yes, sir. Trent, come in, please.
Mr. President.
I'm very glad to see you, Trent.
Mr. President, I've just come into town by the South Road through an encampment of soldiers, thousands of them.
I'm glad you saw them yourself.
You mean you're going to use troops?
Trent, you and your followers are fomenting rebellion against the federal government and against the majority of your fellow citizens.
Oh, but soldiers...
Exactly. Unless your people drop their course of action, those men will move into every town and village in this region. They'll patrol the roads. They'll accompany federal tax collectors. Martial law, Trent.
There'll be bloodshed, Mr. President.
You can stop it.
It's for you to stop it.
No. You started this trouble. Now you've got to make your people understand what they're doing. If this minority dictates to the majority, there can be no security for life, liberty, or property, either yours or mine. I'm here to represent the great majority of Americans. Whatever comes out of these days, I want to be able to say to myself, I did everything I could. I left no stone unturned. Now you go and tell your people what I've told you. I'll give you 2 days' grace. Until day after tomorrow at 6 a.m.
President, this note from your wife.
Oh, thank you, Major. The message has come from your sister Helen in Virginia. Harriet stayed with her only 2 days. then left suddenly. She doesn't know where she has gone and is terribly worried. Major Ferris, have you got a daughter?
Yes, sir.
If she ran away from home, what would you do?
Put her back in her cradle, sir.
Cradle?
She's only 8 months old, Mr. President.
Major, my niece has run away.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to sound flippant.
That's all right, Major. It's just that I don't know what to do. If this thing here at Bedford was settled, I could go and find her. It may be urgent.
Well, I understand, sir, but...
Is there any sign of Trent returning yet?
Not a word, sir. We have patrols out on all the roads and still have 8 hours.
Well, there's just one thing I can do about Harriet until... No. Nothing. You might as well go to bed, Major.
What about you, sir?
With the problems I have right now, I don't think I'll ever sleep again. Yes, yes, come in.
Mr. President, Mr. Trent is here.
Mr. President, am I in time?
Trent, I don't know if you're in time unless I know what you've come to tell me.
In the last 2 days, Mr. President, since I saw you, I've been in every town and village in the region. I told them what you told me. They cheered, Mr. President.
Cheered?
Yes, sir. I have their promise now. Federal revenue officers will be safe from now on. They'll obey the law.
Major, put out the light, please.
Yes, sir.
Dawn is breaking and we don't need it. Trent, come over here to the window with me.
Why, yes, Mr. President.
You know, many times in my life I've wanted to go into a church, and sometimes I've been too far from one. Do you know what I did then? I went outdoors or stood at the window like this, and I waited for the sun to come up, just as it's coming up now. Look at it.
Mr. President, you won't hold this thing too much against us.
Trent, I'm ordering the troops back to their barracks. I think that's your answer. Major, I guess now you and I can go back home. Well, my dear, you heard what happened at Bedford.
Yes, indeed.
What did you think of it?
Frankly, I cried like a schoolgirl.
Because the federal government saved its self-respect.
Well, you might put it that way. And speaking of schoolgirls...
Were we?
Well, not exactly. Anyway, Harriet's waiting to see you.
Harriet? Well, bring her in. I've got a few things to tell her, that young lady.
You won't be harsh with her, will you?
Was I harsh with those people in Bedford?
I'll bring her right in. Oh, and there's a young man with her.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. I may not be equal to this. You'd better stay in here with us.
As you say. Harriet, will you come in?
Oh, thank you. Uncle, look who's here with me. This is...
Harriet, why did you run away from your aunts?
But I didn't run away. I only came here to see you.
It was an unforgivable thing to... What did you say?
I said... I wanted to see you and introduce Mr. Andrew Parks to you. You said you wanted to see him. Speak to the president, Andrew.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? All right, I'm sorry I no sooner settled one bit of trouble than you caused me more.
Oh, please let me say what I came to say.
You're not married already, are you, Harry?
Andrew and I've decided to wait. If you approve.
Wait? If I approve?
I disappointed you once. I won't do it again.
I don't understand.
I'm going back to Aunt Helen's tonight, and I'm going to learn to cook and sew, run the house, take care of my own clothes, manage the household budget, and, well, when I know all those things, Andrew and I'll be married. Well, that's what I came to tell you. And now Andrew wants to tell you something.
Well?
Oh, it's good to know that this is the kind of a country where, well, where if a man has trouble with his girl, he can get a little help from the President of the United States.
Well, I'm glad to do it, son.
Well, that's the kind of an attitude, if you don't mind my saying so, that's bound to make you, sir, first in the hearts of your countrymen.
Well, you've probably figured out by now who I was when all that happened. It really did happen, you know, and you'll have the answer in just a moment.
We all think of America as a young, alive kind of country, still growing with tremendous vistas still to be uncovered. And nothing reflects the spirit of America better than our music. Some of it is grand and courageous, the pioneer theme. Some of it is dreamy and lovely, reminiscent of the South. And these are the types of music you hear on Carnegie Hall. Every Sunday evening, Carnegie Hall salutes a different event in American history and plays music that is reminiscent of that period. The well-known conductor, Dr. Frank Black, leads the concert orchestra on the Carnegie Hall broadcasts. So don't miss this truly thrilling musical event, Carnegie Hall, featuring the music every American loves when it's heard Sunday evenings over most of these same ABC stations. Now, here again is Edward Arnold. Well, my dear,
I think I know what you're going to say.
That I wasn't such a bad substitute father after all, was I?
I would have been disappointed if it hadn't turned out that way. You forget. Everyone calls you the father of your country. George Washington.
Thank you. Yes, it was George Washington who once solved a national crisis and a family crisis at one and the same time. In 1794, he led 15,000 soldiers into western Pennsylvania, but fortunately didn't have to use them. The capital of our nation was in Philadelphia at the time. As for his niece Harriet, she was married to that young man not long after. And, oh yes, General Essex did go to the West Indies. Be with us again, won't you? Well, we will bring you another exciting story that happened in Washington a few years ago to Mr. President. Goodbye.
Edward Arnold will soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, Command Decision. Mr. President was created by Robert G. Jennings. It was produced and directed by Leonard Reed. Today's story was based on incidents in the life of President George Washington. Music was composed by Basil Adlam.
Mr. President will not be heard next week because of a special broadcast. But be sure to listen the following week when the American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations bring you Edward Arnold with another interesting and factual story of Mr. President. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.